Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
The Burt Show.
I want to talk for a few minutes about, and I asked for phone calls, and this will be a situation where only one phone call is all we need.
Okay.
About MIA and her recent performance at, what was it, the Grammy Awards?
The Grammys, Grammys. Yeah, she performed on her due date at the Grammys. And then just had the baby, had a little boy.
And she is scheduled, what, next Saturday, you said?
She's scheduled for Sunday night to perform at the Oscars.
Okay. Wow.
Because there's this song called Osaya that's on the Slumdog Millionaire soundtrack that she performs. So she's going to be there to perform that.
So
isn't that amazing?
Here's the thought that somehow this came up in conversation, I think, during one of our after show meetings. And we know there's these people out here. It's just a matter of getting them to admit it. Is there anyone listening who, and I think this is a combination of the MIA story and then that phone call we took a week or two ago about the woman who had to fire somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone listening who intentionally will not hire a woman who is of childbearing years?
Oh, yeah.
Because now we see what MIA can do. We can, you know, we can give you a fair amount of grief because it is possible to be just as productive and, you know, take care
of
business.
If you're having a healthy pregnancy.
Right.
And you're not on doctor-ordered bed rest or whatever else could happen.
Right. And we're just looking for someone. I think it would be most shocking if it was a female, but who is prepared to admit that they would not hire a woman of childbearing years.
Well, just that age. Like maybe it's somebody who's just gotten married and planning to start a family.
Yep. Or maybe you've gotten burned by that in the past.
Mm.
You know, where you bring somebody in to be part of
Explain childbearing years. You're talking about her situation in her life, or are you talking about you're just not going to hire anybody in their 20s and 30s?
No, I think if this
is that's a pretty big window.
40s.
Mm-hmm. No, I think anybody who's in that position of their life, like if you bring somebody in to interview, let's say they're 30 years old, they've been married 2 years, you know, she's 30 years old, she's been married 2 or 3 years, and they just bought their first house or something. And
so you know it's lined up for the next thing.
Right, and the next step.
Sure.
Is going to be have a kid. Like in the back of your mind, you're like, I don't want to bring somebody in, spend a year training them, and then have them get pregnant, and 6 months later they're gone for a year. Because what is it, nine months, 6 months? How long can you take off? 3 months, right?
It's 12 weeks is maternity leave.
Yeah, so that's 3 months. So you're like, I don't want to train
them. But not all companies have to pay that whole thing out. They just have to keep your job.
Right, so somebody could think, I don't want to have them on board. I know, I'm pretty sure that some friends of mine who have their own business got... Would scammed be the wrong word?
Just burned.
Yeah. Because somebody applied for a job and got the job and they were like 2 months pregnant. And they knew it. And then like 3 months later, they announced, yeah, I just want to let you know that I'm having a baby in 3 months. Like, and they knew that
well,
they were pregnant.
Well, scammed is a bad word because, I mean, it sounds like the woman, I don't know. It just sounds like it's a bad thing that she's pregnant. It's a bad thing she's having children. Like, I hate that the workforce still does not honor the fact that the only way that families are created is if she has this opportunity to do that, you know?
Right.
Hey, Marcus is married to MIA. What's going on, buddy?
Maybe her sister. Yeah, my wife, in the midst of labor between contractions, was a realtor. Took phone calls in this market. You can't walk away from a sale.
Wow! So she was in labor and doing business.
Yes,
unbelievable.
Wow!
Did the people she was talking with know what was going on?
Yes, I mean, kind of. Yeah, he. In fact, I think the comment was, "Wow, that's a first."
Of course, it's a guy. Because if it's a woman who calls and she's like, "Well, I might have to get off the phone quick because I'm in labor," the woman's like, "I'll call you in a week.
Yeah,
take your time.
Yeah.
Goodbye. See you later."
And the guy's like, "Oh, okay. So what's the percentage on that closing cost?"
Did she close the deal?
She did.
All right, good.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah. Hey, Sarah, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Well, I interviewed with an auto finance company one time, and they asked if I was married, and I said, no, I'm engaged, soon to be married. And he asked if I had a family yet, and I told him that, you know, we were planning to have kids soon, and I didn't get the job.
And you think that's why?
And you think that's directly the direct reason why?
He told me that's why. He said, you know, we're not going to hire somebody that's automatically going to need that time off.
Wow. I wonder if that's legal.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. You could have had some sort of lawsuit there.
Yeah, I didn't, but I should have.
Hey, this is a different Sarah. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
What's going on?
I actually work for a retail company, and I'll always ask in my interviews for them to tell a little bit about themselves to me. And if they say that they're trying to start a family and, you know, they're trying to have children, I actually will not hire them.
Why?
And will you? Obviously, you'll find another reason to exclude them from.
You don't say that, right?
Like, what's your
reason? No, you actually, you cannot. You cannot ask them any questions about their family or anything that's going on. That's actually illegal. But no, if they tell me about it, I won't hire them.
Why is that?
Just because I know that they're going to have to be out and that they're really not going to be focused on the job at hand. And I know that's a terrible thing to say, but when you're at work, and I need you to do the job when you're here.
But so, don't you think so you're lumping everybody into that same category?
Well, I actually have two children, so it's crazy that I think that way. But I have been burned in the past, and I've had you know, women in the past that have just been, you know, called out and been sick and just, you know, really have not been focused on the business in order for me to run my business.
What other categories?
I'm just curious. I'm sorry to interrupt, Jeff, but I'm curious about when you say not focus at the job. So you're talking about a woman who is trying to have a family, can't focus on the job because you said you wouldn't hire somebody who said they're planning a family. Or you're talking about a pregnant woman, somehow she just can't focus on the job, because I disagree on both counts.
I'm not saying that they can't focus on the job. I'm saying a lot of women...
Well, that's what you said, though.
I'm saying a lot of women take pregnancy and use it as an excuse to not come to work.
No kidding. You seen Tracy lately?
I mean, that's just ridiculous, but okay. I'm glad you're in a hiring position.
It may have been in her specific situation, but what I don't think is fair is to apply that to every woman.
Right. Mm-hmm. Agreed. If the one person burned you or scammed you or all the words we've heard today, I mean... There's plenty of pregnant women that I've seen that work a hell of a lot harder than other men or women who are in that job.
Mm-hmm.
If you were, Sarah, if you were interviewing for a job, let's say you lost yours and fast forward 6 months from now, you're interviewing for a job. Would you edit what you say when they ask you that tell me about yourself question?
I would. I wouldn't. I don't think I would bring it up. I don't think that, I mean, I don't know, because... I don't think that I would say, you know, hey, I'm trying to have kids, so, you know, just letting you know that this is coming second to me right now. I don't think I would say that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember, and I think that's in general, whether you're talking about children or anything. I know that one of the things I did in college is, like, there was this competition for, like, interviewing. One of the things they talked about is the fact that sometimes the interviewer, not only just to find out, like, the information she's trying to find out to, you know, keep you from getting the job because you're trying to have a family, but just in general trying to throw you off course to see, I guess, how easily you can be thrown off course. So in an interview, I think it's just smart to always focus on the job, always focus on your skills, even if they ask you questions about your personal life, which they, I guess they can't, but if they veer toward that direction, just always veer it back to the place of business. And I think,
and your personality traits and your skills that you bring to the table
that applies to the job, and never ever talk about anything else,
and never admit to wanting to have kids and distracting yourself from the job.
Yes, those little devils.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Melissa, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you? It's completely illegal to ask if you have kids or a family, just as you can't ask if you have transportation. You're supposed to base your hiring decision on the skills and the knowledge that the person has. Mm-hmm. I'm in HR. If I ever ask someone if they have kids, then even though that might not be the reason I did not choose them, that definitely opens up a can of worms in a lawsuit, and you can't definitely say that's not why I chose them.
But there's got to be... I guess tricks, like, tell me about yourself, or can you say, well, tell me a little bit about you, Melissa. What do you do when you're not working? Like, is that a fair question?
You can say stuff like that and say, do you have some challenges that helps you not go to work in the future? What were some reasons that you had to call out? There's ways to beat around the bush, but you can't directly say, do you have kids? How is your family life? Do you plan to get married? Do you have any vacations planned or anything like that?
Well, yeah. And I guess even when you get to that point, going back to what we were saying, is just try to always answer the question based on the job you're applying for. You know, just to keep yourself safe. Because I think a lot of times people go in there, get comfortable, or pretend like the interviewer is their friend. You know, because the interviewer comes across so sweet and you want this job so badly. So you're going to pretend to be their friend. And obviously we're learning that that's the worst thing you can do.
It's a tactic to find out more about you.
Exactly.
Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning.
You're on the voice disguiser.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to say I love your show. You guys wake me up every morning. I wouldn't be able to get out of bed without you.
Oh,
that's
thank
so
you.
Cool. Thank you very much.
But I was calling in because I am a hiring manager, and I work in a field with a lot of women. And, you know, I don't want to be discriminatory. I know it sounds wrong to say that women can't balance family and career, but I have situations all the time where women have to call out because of, because of their kids or because of their husband, or, you know, they use those. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not. And it gets really frustrating because you always have to find someone to fill in for them.
So you purposely will not hire a woman because of the challenges, finger quotes, that may come up.
I try to hire women who are single and who are career focused, because women who have children and families tend to not be focused on their career.
What is so funny to me
that their families come first.
What is so funny to me that we have in this, in our culture, I mean, and so the men have the pressure to focus only on work and not on family. You know what I mean? So if there's a family involved and there's a mother and father involved, a lot of times you're finding that the mother's having to overcompensate because of what you're hearing and the guy and the pressure he feels at work.
Both things are expected to be the woman's responsibility.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are going through that today because it's President's Day. We talked about it earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
kid,
you've got to work, but your
school.
Kids are out of school, you know?
We another
children
topic.
Should not be a liability.
Forgive the word I'm about to use, but another topic was born out of this.
What?
Brag about what your wife did during labor. Hey, Kim, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. You're on the voice disguiser.
Great. I'm a surgeon, actually.
Okay. So this is what you did during labor.
Yes, this is what I did during labor. I was operating, and I was having some back pain that I kind of blew off because I thought, well, the baby's not due for another 3 weeks. And I finished my case and went to the office and was seeing patients. And it turns out by lunchtime, when my husband finally made me go to my gynecologist, I was 5 centimeters dilated. And
so you performed surgery.
What type?
Awesome.
While you were in labor.
What type of surgery were you performing while you were in labor?
I would rather not say. It was not emergent surgery.
Okay. So, okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for the call.
That's impressive.
Yeah, yeah, but that with the, and the same with the realtor. They both did it successfully.
We have multiple calls, so we'll put this on the list, and it'll come up again.
Okay. So you talk about a woman not being able to endure pain. She performed surgery and finished her surgery before she went and had that baby.
The Burt Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right. your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
So we all made superficial goals for 2009. Things that, you know, not deep-seated goals.
Right.
Emotional goals. You know, something superficial that we could all try to get done this year. Mine was I got to catch a blue marlin this year. I mean, for years I've been hunting this thing down. And every time I go deep-sea fishing, I mean, I've probably spent over $1,000 now deep-sea fishing. And they look up into the boat and they laugh at me. They point with their little long noses. Ah, not today, buddy. Not going to happen for you.
And Jeff, when did you catch your first marlin?
Well,
you weren't even walking yet, right?
Yeah, it wasn't really me, but it was my, I mean, it technically was my pole. I'm not the one who pulled it into the boat, but the one who got it with my pole.
Yeah.
And sorry about that.
It it's happened more than once for you.
No, it only happened once, but I'm when I was just... Because the way when you go deep sea fishing, it's such a, like, it shouldn't really be called deep sea fishing because
the crew does everything.
Yeah, you get on the boat.
Not really doing
you sit
it.
In a chair,
and that's then it. They ask you where you want to sit.
I could do that.
And you sit down. So I just sat next to whoever I was with. You know, like my dad or whatever. I chose that seat totally randomly, and they cast the pole out and they put it in the whole thing. And then basically, your whole job is to, when the reel starts to go, you tell someone. And then they pull it out and they strap you in and this whole big thing. But if you're like 12 years old, then somebody else does it.
Oh,
sorry
12.
About that.
So he was 12 when he got his done. And I'm telling you, I'm not 6, 7, 8 times now. Maybe I've gone deep sea fishing, Mexico, Greece, you know, Florida, nowhere. They're all flipping me off. So it's going to happen this year, though. And Jen, what was your superficial goal?
My superficial goal was to play a decent 18 holes of golf this year. I used to play as a kid. I played as a teenager in like father-daughter tournaments with my dad and stuff like that. I actually played as a kid all the way through being a teenager and then was a typical teenager and didn't want to do anything my parents wanted me to do. So I stopped playing golf, but I feel like I have a natural swing and it's kind of one of those things that you have muscle memory on.
Now, why do you think you have a natural swing?
Because I learned it younger. You know what I'm saying? So it's not an awkward thing for me.
I see.
You know what I'm saying? To swing a golf club feels natural. Does that make sense?
Huh?
Like, I don't know if I would be all that good at it as an adult, but I think I have some muscle memory on it. So I would like to, I'd like to pick that back up again.
And when you say play a decent round of golf, is that like under 100?
I guess so. Yeah. I don't really know. I mean, but just to be able to get out there and play again. And now that it's getting a little bit nicer outside, I can start working on that goal.
All right. Wendy?
Mine is super superficial. Mine is mine's actually to date an NFL player by the time next season starts and be in the stands when the whole football season gets underway. And right now, it might not work out. So I'm going for brothers, cousins, nephews, relations.
It's only February.
Yeah, you got time.
It's only February.
Yeah, that's true. So, the draft, if I don't have somebody by the draft, then I'm screwed.
If you have a third cousin that is in the CFL or playing in the World Football League or whatever.
Absolutely, I'll take it.
Yeah, there's a new league coming in.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, the new league. I can do European football. Just come on.
She don't care.
She'll
do rugby at this point. If you're on a recreational rugby league that meets every other Saturday at Piedmont Park,
I'll do slow pitch softball.
If you're playing with a ball that roughly looks like a football, anything.
That's fine, too. Yeah. Anything.
Right.
That hasn't happened yet. And Jeff, yours this year?
I want to get on a game show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
that's right.
I want to be Slumdog.
Right. Be Slumdog.
Yeah.
And Melissa?
Mine was to voice either in a cartoon or a game, because I said I'm the resident geek on the show and I love all that stuff. And I thought, well, if I'm in radio, why can't I figure out a way to get my voice on one of those things? So that was my superficial goal for this year is to get into either, like I said, a cartoon or a game.
And Melissa's the only one getting closer.
If you pay attention to Melissa, she makes a lot of sound effects during the show.
That's right, as the older I get. But yeah, no, and soon after we talked about this early in the year, I did not realize that here in Atlanta, actually in Alpharetta, there is a studio that is creating a game, has been spending 4 years on this game called Global Agenda, and it's Hi-Rez Studios in Alpharetta. And so they are Burt Show listeners, and they actually almost immediately offered and came in studio actually and offered me the chance to voice a character in this game, Global Agenda.
Now, the first thing you said there, I was surprised that it took this long to do a game. 4 years, you said they've been working on it?
4 years. If you ever play a video game, and this is an online with all those initials, MMO, they're going to kill me because I don't
massive
have the initials right.
Multiplayer.
Yes. So it's starting out online.
Thingy.
And if you ever see any of these games and actually read the credits of a game, you will see all these names that pop up because it takes that long for all the games are so intense and so there's so much work that goes into it because you don't think about when you're playing it, all the scenery, all the movements that the characters do,
all the
levels.
Options there are.
Exactly.
For what, you know, if you do this, then comes this.
Exactly.
Even the smallest detail, like the shadows that follow the characters mm-hmm. have to be perfect, you know?
Exactly.
I just thought there were video cameras in the land of gnomes. And the gnomes were controlled by telepathic signals that came when you typed things on your keyboard.
That's the same story you were telling when you were drunk Saturday night, Jeff. You know that, right? No. Anyway, so I actually had a chance to visit Hi-Rez Studios. They invited me to their Alpharetta offices and had me come in and take a tour. And so I went into Hi-Rez and got to see all the guys that design. So there's like three different departments where you have the programmers that are putting the code in. Then you've got some art guys that are actually kind of molding these suits and you know, that the characters wear and kind of creating what they do. Then you have another kind of art area where if you ever play a video game, when you're going in between levels, there's almost like these little mini movies that play. And so there's actually a different department of people who actually are technically making little mini movies so that they go into this game. And one of the places they sent me into was this huge room that's, you know, it's just this big empty room, but there's a grid on the floor. And then there's almost like little cameras on all the corners of the room, and then there's a green screen. And so,
large cameras or like little itty bitty
little cameras,
okay,
and
like webcam type deal,
yeah, little cameras. And
right,
that
this is the first time you've been in an empty room filled with webcams, right, Carter? We believe you.
This was a new one in theirs, I have not been in. So, anyway, so this is the room where if you've ever watched any special effects movie or any, you know, behind the scenes of the people that have the suits on with the little golf ball looking things
on.
So this is the room where you go in and you put the suit on and you have, and the little golf ball things are actually little sensors. And so those cameras are picking up only those sensors, nothing else. And so that's why you have to wear a black suit, is so that they can record your movement. So in the game, your character moves exactly like you do. Or they have to base every character on an actual person that... Because if you play a game now, it's pretty realistic, mm-hmm. and so it's based on actual people. So their staff are the ones that they have based all the movements of all these characters on, you know, by them putting the suit on and just moving around in the studio. So so the first meeting, that initial meeting, was so that I could get a tour, so that I could talk to them about the different characters. Their idea for me is, in this game, a lot of games when you play, then you upgrade to buy things, you know, when you get certain points. Well, they have an actual area, an alleyway, where it's almost these stores where you go in and you talk to someone and purchase items in the store. And so I would be one of the shopkeepers. So in order to utilize my voice more and to have more personality into it, instead of a warrior, I'm actually going to be the person you have to come either buy a new vest from or a new weapon from, or they haven't made a decision.
Give us a line. Sell Bert a vest.
So anyway, so we have to determine, because we haven't determined that yet, and I'm not going to audition for you now. So we have to determine that on what I'm going to sell. But one of the things that they said that
I would like a vest, please.
One of the things that that is also in video games that I wasn't aware of, that if you know a certain code, you can make a character do certain things,
uh-huh.
and they have codes in there of like if you want to see them dance, if you want to see them do a handstand, if you want to see them do whatever.
Funny.
Well, the beauty of Hi-Rez and them being, they're the creators of this Global Agenda, they can do whatever they want. And so their
you better be real nice to those people.
So their their assignment. So their assignment for me it was to because I go actually do the voiceover work and do the suit work in March. So their
would you like to see my sword?
So their assignment for me was to figure out what things I wanted to do with these codes, like you know what crazy things. Would I allow my character to do that somebody playing the game could actually make me do?
So what can we make you do?
Well,
you don't know yet?
I don't know yet. I mean, I'm certainly open to suggestions from listeners.
What if you did like a... Can you do a standing backflip?
Can you lick your eyebrow?
Yeah. Like the dude from earlier this morning, can you lick your own eyebrow?
Then I have to put one of those sensors on my tongue, and I'm not going to tell you what I can do
with
my tongue.
What about the Ralph Macchio Karate Kid kick?
Oh,
could do that.
Cool.
Anything. I can do anything.
So you can suggest to them anything at all?
Anything at all.
Okay, can I have their email address? Because I would like that. I've got a couple of suggestions, and I don't think that you'll okay, but I think we'll enhance the video experience. So you're not going to be a character that will die or kill people?
No, but I will be a character that you can talk to. So any character can come in there and talk to me. And so, yeah, I'm happy to take Melissa at Q100Atlanta.com. I'm happy to take suggestions on what you think my character should do.
Awesome.
Because
that's
I have opened myself up and I told them that I will incorporate suggestions from listeners in this game.
Please, do you know what the name may of I have a handful of nuts?
Do you know what the name of your character is going to be?
I do not. Okay. I do not know yet. But anybody who is a gamer, I think the next PC Gamer magazine actually has a 2-page article about Global Agenda.
Oh,
so
yeah?
They are launching, I believe they're scheduled to launch at the end of this year. So we came at a right time where they've been working on it for 4 years, but they're getting ready to release the game. So
Melissa is asking, what would you like to see her do in this video game? And you can email her. I would suggest you carbon copy all of us.
Yes,
on
Hey, The Bird Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right. Your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Camille is on hold, and she's ready to go. She wants to change the name of her 2.5-year-old.
Oh.
Seems a little tardy to me.
Mm-hmm. Tardy. That's a fun word. I have not heard that word since, well, whenever.
Ring the tardy bell.
Yeah.
But she says she's got good reasons. All right, let's hear Camille out here. Shall we not judge till we hear?
All right.
Melissa, rolling the eyes already.
Okay. 2.5 years old. Change your child's name. Okay.
Hey, Camille. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
So what's going on with your kid now? 2.5 years old? You want to change his name?
No, she's only 2, actually. She's not 2.5.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's different. Sorry. Go
ahead. It's okay. And, it's been eating me alive. Like, I've been wanting to change her name for about 6 months, actually. And I was hoping that the feeling would go away, and it just hasn't. And I really don't know what to do. I don't know if it's going to scar her. I've been trying to look online and find out information, and I can't find anything.
All right, well, let's back up for a second. Why did you name the baby the name that you did? What is the baby's name? And why all of a sudden, like even 6 months ago, like why is it like, okay, this is just not working for us?
Well, I actually didn't name the baby. My husband and I had made a deal that if it was a boy, I got to choose the name. Mm-hmm. And if it was a girl, he got to choose the name. And I was super excited. I totally had the best name for a boy, picked out Gabriel Ryan, and I was really excited. And it was a girl, and so he decided on Lucia Ray. I was like, oh, that's nice. It actually kind of sounds like Gabriel Ryan. Like, it has the same tone to it, the same sophistication. And so I was okay with it. And about 6 months ago, his sister, who lives in Washington State, came to visit. And we're not very close, so it wasn't like we had talked on the phone a lot. And she's like, you know, by the way, I just am amazed that you let my husband, Greg, name the kid Lucia Ray. Uh-huh. And I was like, yeah, well, it was, you know, no big deal. And she's like, oh, she's like, wow, you're so cool about it. And I was like, cool about what? She's like, what do you mean about what? Because I obviously had no idea what she was talking about. And it's because it was her, it was his ex-fiance's name who she broke up with him right before we got together.
Oh, no.
Okay, so did you know that there was an ex-fiance even at that point?
No. I had no idea. Damn. We never, you know, we're just the kind of couple that never, you know, he was kind of a jealous type, and he's like, I don't want to hear about your ex-boyfriend, so I don't want you to hear about mine. Like, let's just start fresh. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I can handle that.
How do you keep that from somebody, though? The only person that would propose that is somebody that has something in their past that they don't want to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep
find
that?
Out, I just thought he was being sweet and wanted to just move forward in our relationship.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So he's engaged to this woman, and they were engaged for how long? How long was their relationship?
No, she didn't totally say. She was kind of like, oh my God. Okay. I'm so sorry for even saying anything. It's between you and Greg if you want to talk about it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. She's done her job.
It's a lot.
Wow. Yeah. I don't want to get into this with you.
All right.
Okay.
Not judging.
He and I have been
judging him, not you.
He and I now have been screaming at the top of our lungs at each other because I won't call her by her name anymore. I can't.
Wow. Yeah, that does change. Does that change things now, Carter?
Yeah, I said I'm judging him, not you.
I say change it. I mean, your child's two, right?
Yeah.
She's not going to remember.
And you spent how long?
Jen, I mean.
You spent how long trying to get over it?
The last 6 months.
So you spent.
This is something that I'm really struggling with.
She has spent 25% of her child's life not being able to address her child by name. I say change it and do it yesterday.
I'm just thinking out loud here because you don't have a lot of time to process it. But, man, I mean, I've got an almost two-year-old now. He's 21 months, and he knows his name. He comes to his name. There aren't a lot of things he recognizes, but his name is certainly one of them. So for me to start referring to him as something else, I don't think it has long-lasting impact or anything like that, but it certainly could be confusing.
But then I thought that what's the worst impact is if she keeps the name and the child thinks that Mom resents her for something when it's not the child because mm-hmm. she can't say the name without having the child will absorb that negative energy the mom is going to give.
You're right.
And then the child will take it personally and then it will have a complex and the child didn't do anything wrong.
All right, this may be a little more complicated than we initially thought. 404-741-Q100.
And if she does change it, as she can tell her daughter many years later when she's older and can understand it, mm-hmm. hey, you originally had this name and here's the reason why we changed it, whatever. And then she's kind of got a unique story to tell or something like that.
It's also the reason that your father and I aren't together anymore.
But I mean,
seriously, that's the point that it's come down to. It's he's pissed.
Well, he deceived you.
Yeah. That's horrible.
Linda, you're on Q100. Hi.
I'm with Jeff. Change it yesterday. They'll adjust to because I have no children. If you started calling them like Richard and then you change it to something in their middle name, or something, they adjust at that age. But don't keep waiting.
Do it now, she said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stephanie,
What about the social issues of me changing the name and then having to explain it to every person?
I would explain it. To,
I'd explain it like you explain it to us.
Yeah, I would explain it. And I wouldn't even explain
understand.
It. I would make your husband explain it. If he doesn't think it's a big
deal,
I would say, you know what? Whatever you said his name was, Jerry or whatever, you'd say, why don't you go talk to him, and he'll explain it, and he'll have to say, well, and no one, zero, nobody will be on his side.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is when you're confident in your answer. Oh, you want to know why I changed the name? Bah, here's the reason. They're like, okay, sounds good.
I would refer all questions regarding this subject to my husband.
Yes.
Hey, Stephanie, go ahead. You're part of the Burt Show.
Hi. I just wanted to say she should definitely change the name because as a girl, I would be really scarred and hurt that my father disrespected my mother in that way. And I would want that name.
Yeah,
I just wanted her to change my name.
Because you don't want to be identified after that. I mean, that becomes part of your story, how your parents named you. You know what I mean? You can think about, think about that. Like, where did they come up with the name? There's so much thought put into the name. There's so much, you know, for a lot of people, it's a family name or it's, you know, named you after my favorite great aunt or my favorite, you know, or your great great grandmother or your great great grandfather. There's so much meaning behind it that this kid's going to know the meaning behind it.
He thinks about his ex-fiance every time he says her name.
Oh, why would you do that to her?
Every single time.
Change it. Today.
Honestly, I mean, I'm just saying, Bert. Like, I know
I can tell you how. Start at Social Security.
It's a unique name, but like the girl you dated, Chandra or whatever?
Yeah. Even I forget her name.
Right. What's her name?
I forget.
So,
her name is Inconsequential.
Okay, Inconsequential. Every time you hear someone else named Inconsequential, don't you for one second? She pops into your mind.
Absolutely. There's a reporter from Atlanta Magazine that has the same name. It sounds a little bit different the way they pronounce it, but every time I see her name, I think of the ex Chandra.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, Rachel, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. I just wanted to say I was 3 when I was adopted, and my parents did change my name because they wanted to have their daughter with their own name, and I don't remember ever being called by my other name.
So at 3, it didn't scar you.
So what we're hearing here, the social ramifications of you not saying your daughter's name are going to be way more far-reaching than you changing that name.
Do you have a new name picked out?
Well, I was going to call her Gabriella.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful name.
Sure.
Pretty.
Or you can name her after
Gabriel. Was your ex-boyfriend named Gabriel?
Why don't you name her after her father and call her A-hole?
Well, this is the next question. How do I possibly live with a man that is still passionate about another woman?
Yeah, that's another question for another time, but that is an important one right there. I mean, the deception there. And the fact that he packaged it in such a way to you as him saying, you know, I don't want to know. That's all in your past.
Right.
Let's not go ahead and talk. What he really wanted to do was hide that he had an ex-fiance.
If things don't work out between you, never, ever, ever tell your daughter exactly why. Because she's going to feel like it's her fault that y'all didn't make it.
That's true. Sad.
Well, I'm hoping that we make it. I'm hoping that we just figure out why he has these feelings still. I don't know. Maybe we won't make it. I don't know. I don't want to think about that.
I'd be pretty mad
in the morning.
I think I honestly think you should, just to see what he does, I think you should pick out an ex-boyfriend who has a name that could be modified to be a girl's name. And I think you should say to him, like, let's say you dated a guy named Jesse, right? That can go either way. Or
sure.
Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron's a good name that can go boy or girl. And I think you could say, hey, you know what? I'm going to name this Aaron after the guy that I dated my first 3 years of college.
But you don't want
girl.
Your daughter to be
point
of retaliation.
You don't start talking.
You don't really do it. You just do that to see how he genuinely responds, because I guarantee you.
No, but I've done that. We've yelled about that. I said, well, what if I named him Cameron, because I dated a guy named her Cameron. And he's like, I don't care. The reason why I named her Lucia is because she was a wonderful woman, and she was full of respect and honor, and anyone would be lucky to have that name.
Oh, that's a deal breaker.
Oh, dude. I mean, how many times can you whiff on the same ball? Jeez.
Mm. He's one of those guys that can turn around any argument into it being your fault, right?
No,
he didn't do a very good job on this one, because he kept messing it up all the way across the board.
Wow.
Wow, yeah, that's another issue there. Well, as far as the baby issue goes, everybody calling up saying, no worries, go ahead, change the name. And
well, that makes me feel better, just knowing that people are on my side.
How you handle it with your husband is a totally different situation.
Yeah. I'd seek somebody else's help in figuring that out.
But the baby one is done.
I'm going to change his name, too.
Yeah, Tool is a good one.
Yeah.
Boosh.
All right, Camille, thank you very much for calling.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.